Dr. Ridwan Suleiman joining us on the line this morning. A very good morning to you. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I am good, thank you. So first of all, just put yourself into some form of context. You're a doctor of maths, statistics. Is that right?
That's correct. So I've got a background actually in engineering with previous degrees in mechanical engineering at honors and master's level and a PhD in applied mathematics.
So, and did you ever see yourself, I mean, does it surprise you that you're becoming one of the COVID references for the country?
Yeah, it does. I did not see myself doing this. I think COVID has sort of turned the way we do things across all levels. I just started sharing the numbers more, well, at the start of the pandemic to just make sense of what we were seeing. I mean, we're being fed with so much data on a daily basis. And it's difficult to understand what the numbers mean. So I think looking at trends in the data and just trying to quantify what it all means. Just started sharing that and just trying to put that forward in a simplified and easy to understand and digestible manner, essentially.
Mm. And what I love as well is that it comes without the political baggage, because there's so much of that, that it's very difficult to wade through the information to see what is really being said.
Yes, indeed. I think it still remains quite difficult. Look, us as researchers, as scientists, we need to stick to the numbers, stick to the facts. We need to admit that there are things that we don't know, but communicate what we do know in an easily to understand manner. Of course, it's difficult because at the end of the day, politicians are still making the decisions that govern our lives. But I think we do need to stick to the facts and what we do know ultimately.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have the same conversation with a physician, Dr. Anton Meiberg, and what he says as well is he can't give advice on what should close or shouldn't close. He can give us medical advice. He can tell us what's really happening on the ground in the hospitals, in the COVID wards and the ICUs. But when people ask him whether a lockdown, you know, is the way to go, he says, I don't have the economics background. I don't have the understanding of that. And I think that's why the pure sciences or the pure areas, one of which is yours, is so important. But let's just take a look at what you are seeing at the moment. It's Friday, the 18th of June. We are in the middle of the third wave, certainly in Gauteng. It's a very, very scary place to be. What are the numbers telling you?
Yeah, so we're well and truly into the third wave now nationally, seeing a surge currently and driven by this concerning spike in Gauteng. At the moment, the number of new reported cases are increasing still quite sharply. Nationally, we've reported over 64,000 new cases over the past 7 days, up 53% compared to the previous week. But of concern is the rate that it's increasing. It's doubling about every 10 to 11 days. So at a similar rate of increase to what we were seeing at the same time in the second wave, and much faster than what we were seeing in the first wave. The test positivity rate is also increasing, confirming the rise in infections that we're seeing. The average over the past 7 days, almost up to 20%. So that increase, one, confirming the increase in infections, but two, also indicating that there may be many more undetected or unreported cases. What we're also seeing is, while Gauteng is surging, there's an increase across all of the provinces, including the big coastal provinces, and unfortunately, hospitalizations are increasing as expected following the trend that we see in increasing cases.
In terms of the positivity rate, as you said, it's over 20%. Where did it peak during the second wave?
So during the peak of the second wave, we went up to 34%. And I mean, concerningly high, meaning at that point, one in every three tests was positive. At the moment, it's one in every 4 to 5 tests that are returning a positive result.
And in terms of the numbers, is there any way of knowing how far into the third wave we are? Well, not how far in, but how far out, I guess, is the question.
It's difficult to really predict. I've tried to, over recent times, overlay what we saw in the previous waves, and try to use that to make some understanding of where we're at. In Gauteng, look, the trajectory has already surpassed what we had been, what we saw at the peaks of the previous waves and is still rising. Nationally, we're still following the rate of increase of the second wave. How high we do go and how long it does last, I think, is dependent on a number of factors, including our individual movement behavior, also dependent on immunity in the different regions or seroprevalence levels. So there are a lot of different factors, also dependent on the possibility of other variants increasing and becoming more dominant. So difficult to really predict. The expectation in Gauteng is that likely we will be heading into a peak in the next 2 weeks, and then the other three big provinces probably about 2 to 3 weeks behind Gauteng.
One of our listeners asking a question around the COVID-19 deaths. I know that this is a very contentious area. As a statistician or somebody who's working purely with the numbers, how do you determine the accuracy of your information?
Look, so from our side, I'm just taking all of the data that is publicly available, and trying to collate and share that. It's difficult to, I know that all of the data does have limitations, and that's why I think looking at different metrics and looking at the trends in those and comparing them really does help to ensure that what we are seeing is reasonable. In terms of the deaths reported, those are as reported by the Department of Health. There is limitations that not all COVID-19 deaths may necessarily be picked up or reported. Also, there may be delays in the reporting of it, of them. Mm-hmm. There are other metrics to also look at in terms of deaths. The excess death data coming out of the South African Medical Research Council's research and reports. The limitation there is that not all of those deaths are COVID-19 specific. We can also look at deaths occurring in hospitals, but there are limitations to all of it. That's why it's important to look at the trends and compare the different metrics as well.
Are you able, and you probably don't have that information because I'm not sure how much it's available, but I'd also be fascinated to know if you could see it within different communities. So we know that the Jewish community, for example, at the moment is being very, very hard hit. I know that I've spoken to people in the Muslim community also suffering a tremendous, tremendous blow, both to illness and to death, maybe because both of these communities live very communal lives. But are you able to, do we have enough data to be able to look at how it's impacting different areas and communities?
No, unfortunately, we don't have data down to such granular level. Or at least, I think it's more anecdotal data that we receive in that. And yes, definitely, the Muslim community is severely impacted right now. The Jewish communities as well. But it's more just from data or from what we hear from people in those communities. We have data down to district level, but still really difficult to pick up specific trends in specific communities.
I guess it could also be because those communities to some extent are a little bit more cohesive. So therefore you get this reporting or you get this information. But as you say, it is anecdotal. Before I let you go, what we've spoken about is everything mathematical, looking at the data. When you look at this, you know, one of your tweets earlier in the week was the first time that I saw you saying, without saying it, that, I'm worried. We're in trouble here. And you must see this. What are you feeling at the moment?
Yeah, look, I am concerned, and particularly, I mean, I reside in Gauteng, and what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing is concerning. I try to just stick to the data and the numbers and the facts, but of course, sometimes bias does come into it. Look, the recent level 2 restrictions 2 weeks ago had no impact on the epidemiological trajectory. The current restrictions won't necessarily have any significant influence in Gauteng. They may lessen the severity in the other big provinces. The concern that, and what we're hearing, is that hospitals are filling up. People are scrambling for beds right now. We've seen in the previous two waves how the rise in cases and the test positivity rate is strongly linked with the rise in hospital admissions and, sadly, ultimately in deaths. What we do need to do now is focus on hospital beds, hospital capacity, in ensuring that we can try and limit the peak that we see so that we can lessen the burden on the healthcare facilities, so that we can ultimately give people the best chance of survival by accessing healthcare facilities without scrambling for beds. I think that that is a concern. Gauteng's trajectory has exceeded the previous peaks, and we're going to see a continued rise in the number of new hospital admissions, at least for the next 2 weeks, because those are still locked in. So that is really the most concern right now.